Welcome back to Tuesdays with Tim, the podcast that touches on all things related to brain injuries among children and those who've been impacted by my son, Luke. On April 3rd, we had our big event in Lubbock, Texas, our annual spring event. In the past, we've had Drew Brees, DeMario Davis from the Saints, Dick Vitale from ESPN, the Eli Young Band performed last year, and this year it was so special. We had Andy Roddick, former number one tennis player in the world, speak, and we had Corey Morrow and Pat Gring sing. And it was just a wonderful event attended by over 500 people. The Lubbock community, as they always are, is just so incredibly supportive. I'm just so proud to be a part of this community because of what they have meant to my son Luke and what they continue to mean to Team Luke Hope for Minds. We just recently had our golf event, which Rhonda Johnson has put on for years. I believe it was the 11th annual this year, because prior to Team Luke Hope for Minds, there was Hope for JD. JD Hartman suffered a non-fatal drowning years ago from Austin, and Rhonda wanted to help this family, and what ended up happening was she became the executive director of Hope for JD. Hope for JD then turned into Hope for Minds, and then in January of 2018, Team Luke Hope for Minds was formed. So this event that we had in Austin, for the first time, we had a dinner on the 21st of April. It was attended very, very beautifully attended event. We raised some good money for families, and then on April 22nd, we had our golf tournament at Onion Creek Golf Club, which was just a beautiful setting. And speaking of beautiful, I don't think you could have a better day than what we had. A few years ago, it was actually rained out in the spring. We had to do it in the fall. But this was absolutely picture perfect. Not a cloud in the sky, about 72 degrees. And I was camping out on the first tee. And I would greet each of the players and talk about Team Luke a little bit. But it was just a great opportunity for me to meet each of the 150 golfers. Most of them knew our story or knew why we were having this golf tournament, but some of them didn't know enough about it. And so that was a perfect time for me to visit with them about Team Luke Hope for Minds and about my son and about J.D. Hartman and about the fact that we merged to form Team Luke Hope for Minds. I grew up in New Orleans. I spent my first 18 years in New Orleans. Actually, the first two were in New York. My parents are from New York originally. At age two, we moved to New Orleans and loved being in the city, loved being the biggest Saints fan in the world, and just enjoyed playing tennis growing up and was just a big fan of the area. And then I became an Arkansas Razorback. I went to school there for 4.5 years, enjoyed my time at the University of Arkansas, loved the area, loved the school spirit. The Razorback Nation, it is unlike any other, very similar to Texas Tech in the school spirit, and really loved it. I have now lived in Lubbock for 30 years, half my life. I turned 60 in January, and I don't think anyone could be a bigger advocate of Lubbock, Texas than I am. You know, since I started out at Texas Tech in 1993, the support that I received as the tennis coach, building this program, building a new facility, trying to build a group of fans all over the city, whether it's the schools, the clubs, the different teams around, to want to support Texas Tech tennis. And, you know, Lubbock showed a lot because my last year in 2015, I believe we were ranked second in the nation in attendance. For our Big 12 matches, we had close to 1,000 people. And I'll never forget the match against the University of Texas when we won the last match 7-6 in the third set in the final match to win 4-3 with an overflowing crowd of over 1,000 people. Those are memories that will forever be etched in my mind, not only because that we won those big matches, but because we had my family there. And it was so special to see my children there and my wife there supporting Texas Tech tennis and the community supporting it. And, you know, I believe that I was a coach, yes, but I was also someone who really enjoyed marketing and bringing fans in, whether it was T-shirts or pizza or giveaways or trips. I wanted people to support us because I knew how much of a home court advantage it was. And speaking of home court, Lubbock has been home for 30 years, as I mentioned, and I have become friendly and friends with so many people from the medical community to the athletic world to Texas Tech athletics, and I've enjoyed every second of it. And last I guess maybe early February, I went to Dallas for the Dallas Open to watch my former player, Gonzalo Escobar, where he was competing in the event. And while I was there, I realized that I knew a lot of people and that I was, in my mind, ready to try something different, to try something new. And so I made the decision to move to Dallas. Now, it may be temporary. I have a 9-month lease in Dallas. Who knows what's going to happen? But the primary purpose for this move is to spread awareness, raise money in an area that I have not done as much. And so that's Dallas, Texas. So I am making this move next week and look forward to meeting new people, to spreading awareness about what we do. I have a board member, Conrad Madsen, who's in Dallas. I have 12 former Texas Tech tennis players that live in the area, 12. And so each one of those 12 will be hearing from me. They already have, actually. And I actually have, it's funny how tennis has changed over the years. You know, I began playing tennis at the age of 6. I played competitively from 7 on. When I was 8 years old, I was competing in the 10 and unders. When I was 12 up till I was 18, I traveled the country and played tournaments all over. And then after college, I played professional tennis and I traveled the world. I was in Europe, I was in Asia, Africa, Australia, just loved competing. The opportunity to play in Wimbledon and the U.S. Open and the French Open and the Australian Open, those were just amazing times for me. So tennis really was my life at a very early age. I was very disciplined. I knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to play pro tennis. And then after professional tennis, I also knew what I wanted, and that was to coach college tennis. I couldn't wait to develop players, their forehands, their backhands, their serve, strategy, but also to talk about life, family, the important things in life, and get those players to understand the importance of being on time and playing hard and realizing that it's not just today we're thinking about, but it's the future. So I really loved coaching. And the only reason I got out of coaching was to spend more time with my family, and unfortunately the accident happened just 20 days later. But since the accident, which was on July 28th, 2015, I have stayed away from tennis to the point that I couldn't really get on a tennis court again. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, that was life before the accident. Tennis was life before the accident. And also, the very last thing Luke and I ever did, we were at a tennis court at a park not far from our house playing tennis. And I remember Luke and I were walking off the court, and Luke turned to me and he said, "Dad, I want to be on your tennis team. I love baseball and I love football, but I want to play tennis for you." And so because of the fact that that's the last thing he ever said to me, and because it was life before the accident, I stayed away from tennis. I stayed away from the tennis court especially. And I wondered if that was going to be the case for the rest of my life, if I ever was going to feel comfortable being back on a tennis court. I also know how important it is to exercise. And while I've been in Lubbock, I do a lot of walking. I box twice a week with Terry Washington at Wright Cross Boxing, which has just been a godsend for me. 3.5 years, twice a week. I look forward to it. Actually, I look forward to when it's over, but it is great. 5 rounds, and it's been fantastic to get my heart rate up. And so over the last couple of weeks, I sort of changed my mind on tennis. And it all started about a month ago when my 21-year-old daughter, Kate, said, "Dad, let's play some tennis." Now, I had been on a tennis court with Kate during COVID once or twice. I've actually been hitting tennis balls on the wall occasionally just to be able to hit balls, 333 of them, in honor of Luke. But being on a tennis court versus hitting on a wall is different. In some ways, I felt like the tennis court itself was not poison, but it was hard for me. My stomach would kind of churn, and I didn't know if I had it in me to be back on a court. So when Kate asked me a few weeks ago to play tennis, I didn't hate it. And she asked me a few more times, and I did that as well. And then more recently, I was asked to speak to the Trinity Christian tennis team prior to their going to state. And we talked about the 7 inspirations for Luke. And then the coach had asked me, would I be willing to run a practice the day before they went to state. I did that, and I didn't mind that at all. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed it. And what was interesting is that I was asked just prior to that if I was ever going to coach again. And the answer was simply never. I would never coach college tennis again because I am coaching. I'm coaching a different team called Team Lecofre Mines. But I also think that the idea of coaching privately was not in my DNA ever again as well. But that's also changed. I've been on the court a little bit lately, giving a private lesson to someone here in Lubbock who is a freshman at Trinity Christian, and I've really enjoyed it because I always saw myself as a teacher and a coach, teaching discipline and hard work. And I think that that's one of the things that I believed helped me take care of Luke, because I had spent so much time and energy and working hard on the tennis court and having goals, and I was driven. And Luke was also driven because he was a coach's son, and he really enjoyed being a part of the idea of, Dad, let's throw the ball. Dad, work with me on ground balls. Let's work together, playing catch every day. And so I think that was instilled in Luke early on, and I believe that's one of the reasons why Luke improved so much, because he was a competitor and he was an athlete. So back to tennis. I believe that my move to Dallas will get me back on the tennis court. I have so many friends that play tennis. As I mentioned, the four former tennis players, 12 of them at Texas Tech. And also just knowing people that are tennis directors at clubs in Dallas will maybe get me back on the court. And I think it's going to be important for me physically, emotionally, to get back on the court, to play some tennis, whether it's 30, 45 minutes, an hour, just going out there and training, because I think that's what I've always needed since Luke's accident. It took me a long time to get my heart rate up, because while I was in the hospital for 5 months, my heart rate was up looking at monitors, but I really wasn't doing enough as far as exercising. And that took me a good while. Walking is one thing, but to get your heart rate up is another. And that's where boxing has helped me. And I think that's where tennis will help me as well. And I think we all know that life is difficult. It doesn't matter what age we are, whether we have a child with a brain injury, whether we just go to work and life's been great and we're so blessed, we have to exercise. For our emotional stamina, for our mental state. And nobody needed that more than I did. And yet that's what my life was about, really, from age 7 until I quit coaching in 2015. So I know the importance of it. I didn't realize it until I started doing it again. It kind of reminds me of when people would tell me I need to sleep more, because I would sleep maybe a couple of hours a night for 6 years while I was with Luke. I don't think I had more than one or two nights where I slept a full 8 hours during those 6 years. But I needed that. I needed to be with Luke. And I never felt like I needed more sleep until now that I am sleeping. I realized how much I wasn't getting enough back then. Well, the same thing applies to tennis and exercise. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to the move to Dallas. I don't know if it's permanent. I would be surprised if it is, because I love Lubbock, Texas so much. I could see myself back here in 2025. But the reason I'm moving is because there are businesses, there are companies, there are individuals that are going to learn about Team Lecofre Mines, that I'm going to pound the pavement to work hard on spreading awareness, to getting in front of schools, to getting in front of teams, to getting in front of companies to speak about my 7 inspirations from Luke, but also to share our case for support, to share the impact that we've made over the last few years, certainly in the last 3 years, where we have granted over $500,000 each of the last 3 years. The one thing that's so important that I will stress to everyone in Dallas, as I have this year, and that is that our Making Connections Pediatric Brain Injury Conference, which this year is held October 25th and 26th in Austin, is without a doubt the most important 2 days of the year. Beginning on June 1st, we will be offering applications, those that are able to apply and receive a travel scholarship. What I want to be able to do is to provide a travel scholarship to each and every family that applies. Last year, we had over 120 families apply, and we were able to scholarship 77 of those families. We spent over $116,000 to get families to come from all over the country. I believe it was 17 states. This year, the conference will be the biggest and the best it's ever been. A, because more people know about us, and B, because we are receiving donations to be able to help for this particular event. I mentioned that it's the most important 2 days for a couple of reasons. Number one, because these families And I was one of those families. We don't know exactly what to do. There's no blueprint on what to do next. But when you have keynote speakers talking about hyperbaric oxygen, stem cell, laser therapy, acupuncture, nutrition, therapies, even counseling for parents, all the different things that we cover. And in those 2 days, it's full 2 days. We're listening to speakers, but also we have a sibling support group. We have things that we do for the children. Parents, more than anything, are there to hear speakers, but more importantly than that is to be around each other. I remember when I would take Luke to the conference and I was kind of wearing two hats. I would want to listen to the speakers because I wanted to know what I could do for Luke next. But then I was also the executive director, shaking hands and meeting people that I had not met before, dealing with things that I was currently going through. Well, now, over the last couple of years, I have been just the executive director. I'm still a father, yes, but I talk to parents and I'm there to offer my support, to hear their story and to let them know that I will be here for them and that Team Luke, Hope for Minds, will be here for them forever. But what I watch and I see parents interact with each other, sharing stories about their child, maybe offering advice or suggestions what they're doing for theirs, whether it's try this medicine, try this nutrition. It is such a beautiful thing because I'm hearing throughout the year that they have developed friendships, and that is so important because so often as a father, despite the fact that I know so many people and friends with so many people, I felt so alone so often, isolated, because what happens when your child has a brain injury, some friends go away. Some friends are not sure what to say. Some friends just feel like it's too much for them to handle. And then I've learned that some friends have become friends after the accident because they really have that caring heart where they want to be able to help. Well, I think that every parent that goes through this knows that we need friends. We need family. We cannot do this on our own. And really, when you think about it, everyone, we can't do anything on our own. We need the support of others, and because life is challenging. We go through ups and downs. We go through hurdles. We go through tough times, dark times. And I've been through those. And I know that my faith in God has carried me, especially these last few months, beginning on August 3rd, when I forgave the family, when I forgave the hospital, when I forgave those that needed to be forgiven. But also, it wasn't so much about that. Is I found myself surrendering to God, trusting into God. I've always had God with me, but I felt differently this time. And I have made strides, and I continue to heal. It is a process for sure. I know this, that sadness is still with me each and every day, but it's a far better thing to have than anger and bitterness and needing to forgive. And I think everyone listening today, the important thing in life is to forgive, because when you forgive, it frees you, it lightens you up, and it's for you. And so for me, it took me 8 years and reaching out to the family and friends now with the family again, and knowing that what I was doing was I was hurting myself, I was hurting those around me, and it's very important to forgive. I can just assure you of that. This move to Dallas is going to be tough for me because I have so many good friends here. I'm a Texas Tech diehard fan. I coached here for 23 years. My daughters still live here. My 4 grandchildren live here. But Dallas is just 5 hours drive and a 1 hour flight, and I will be back in Lubbock multiple times a month because there's no way that I couldn't be here to be around friends and family. That's number one. It's also just 5 hours away from where I went to school at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. So I imagine on weekends I'll be going back and forth to different places, but also setting up meetings. And I do a lot of traveling. In the month of May, I'll be in South Carolina speaking. I'll be back in Lubbock speaking and also in Plainview, Texas. So I'll be doing quite a bit of that as well. But I look forward to branching out to new people, to a chapter in life that is going to be tricky for me because, you know, change at 60 is not as easy as change at 20. But I'm ready for it. I know it's a God thing that I'm ready for this, that in my mind, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to help families all over the country. You know, it was easy for me to recruit at Texas Tech because I believed in Texas Tech. I believed in our mission, I believed in our program, and I believed in the university. Well, the same thing goes for what I'm doing, if not more so, obviously, in our mission, that is Team Luke Hope for Minds. That Team Luke Hope for Minds exists because of J.D. Hartman and because of my son, Luke Siegel. It exists because my son, my hero, my buddy, my shadow, had an injury on July 28, 2015. And each and every day, I will keep Luke's legacy alive. I continue to share Luke's story on Luke's legacy, Pray for Luke on Facebook, and Team Luke Hope for Minds on our social media as well, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our website, teamlukehopeforminds.org. If you haven't followed it, please do. And if you know of anyone, please reach out to me on Facebook. Anyone in Dallas that I should reach out to. Anyone in the country, for that matter, because I always look forward to doing that. I have friends and family in Dallas. I have a number of families that we have helped in Dallas that I look forward to keeping in touch with, families whose children had a brain injury. So this is going to be a challenge for me. It's going to be difficult for me to be away from my three beautiful daughters and four amazing grandchildren and some very close friends. But I know I'm ready for this, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter. So thank you all for listening today, and look forward to next Tuesday. Thank you so much.